So good morning, 6:29 on 7/7/12, July 7th, 2012. It's a bit breezy this morning. I hope the wind filter works. It became much breezier when I came around this last corner, so I suspect that we'll be okay. I just did rather a long chat for my class. Today's the last day they have to work on Postman. I'm waiting on one more essay. Well, it seemed to be in pretty good shape. There's a couple of points I emphasized on their blogs, but the big one is that they don't really understand, because I didn't explain, why they're working so much outside of Blackboard. The reasons being, of course, that A, Blackboard closes the door on their work when the course is done, and B, they need that work when they go to graduate because they need to have it for their portfolio. So by having them work in a CLEAR in the blog, I serve two immediate purposes, direct for them, which is they get to keep their work, and they get to experience this tool called blogging, where they're required to use it every day. And the hope is that over the course of using it for a month, it will become a habit and they will continue. Of course, the reality of that is that I think maybe one has continued in all the teachers that I've taught, one has continued to use her blog, and she used the blog before she started class. So yeah, not a big success rate there, but there's hope as long as they are exposed to the tool and they can see how it's used. I can't force them to use it if they don't want to, so be that as it may. So today is the official weigh-in day. Dun ta da. It's been a week since my first official weigh-in. Last Saturday morning, I weighed 198. This Saturday morning, I weigh 194. So 4 pounds in a week. The majority of that was in the first couple of days. Looking at the weigh-ins that I did do over the course of the week, the last few days have been small fractions of a pound, which is really quite fine, because I'm really shooting for a pound a week. So 4 pounds in the first week is, yeah, but not realistic. However, the tool, and several of you have asked for it, is choosemyplate.gov. I use that to track my calorie intake. I use the notepad function on my phone to keep track of it from over the course of the day. So when I'm in the kitchen and I do something with food, I mark it on my phone so that I remember what it is when I get downstairs. The process of logging it, having to write down, well, how much is that? Is it a cup? Is it a half cup? Is it 5 ounces? Is it 4 ounces? If I'm going to write that down because I need it to log it, if I need it for the record keeping, then I have to actually do things like weigh it out. Now, I'm pretty good with common measurements. I know how much a tablespoon is. I know how much 2 tablespoons are. I can pour a tablespoon full of salt into the palm of my hand and be correct within a few grains. I've done it so often now that I know pretty much how much a tablespoon is. Half a cup is about a lot more. Half a cup is a little more difficult to eyeball, but not impossible. And I have cup measures lined up so that I can look at the volume of the cup measure and not be confused between a third of a cup and a half a cup. And, worst case is, I actually put them in the cups and measure them. So today, big news for today, over and above the 4 pound weight loss for the week, is it rained. Lord, did it rain. We had 3 or 4 good thunder showers go by through here last night, and everything is soggy. Everything is soggy. The air is wet. I'm wet. sky's burning off, but there's more dark clouds off to the west. I would be surprised if we get some more before the day is out. The lawns are sopping wet, which is great because they needed a good soaking. I won't be mowing lawns today. Darn. I've been getting a lot of good feedback from beta readers on the state of Tanith's latest adventure. And I thank you very much. The issue of her cast is important. She breaks her arm in the beginning, and I did not do a very good job of weaving that into the story. There's stuff I could have done that I didn't do, and more stuff that I really need to do to make this actually seem less like an artifice and more like part of the story. So I'll be going back and actually starting again. I worked yesterday for 3 hours in the middle portion, smoothing, taking out some pieces. There was some redundancy in the narrative that I found and somebody else found and reported. But there's some interesting things that have come to me as by way of this feedback that I'm anxious to incorporate into the story, which will mean my going back to the beginning. So thank you very much, and if you're still interested, there's still time. I'm not anywhere near where I thought I was going to be today. I was hoping I was going to have a completed second draft by today, which is of course foolish on my part. So if you're interested, I can still send you a copy. I sent out one yesterday, actually. And as people are reading it and sleeping on it and thinking about it, they're getting back to me like the next day and saying, oh, you know, this occurred to me. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. The cast in particular is problematic. Part of it is the timing. It's because she's doing things with her arm that she shouldn't be able to do so soon after breaking it. She should be in a fair amount of pain, and she doesn't seem to be. So that's an issue. The other part of it is that 2 weeks. The second book starts 2 weeks after the first book. So she breaks her arm at the beginning of the second book, which is 2 weeks after the first one ends, and 2 weeks before the equinox, 3 weeks before she goes on the road, roughly speaking. 4 weeks, more like 5 weeks, she's in Cleesport. And then 6 to 7 weeks later, after breaking her arm, she's in North Haven. So the entirety of this book occurs over 7.5, maybe 8 weeks. So she breaks her arm in the beginning. Getting the cast off before she gets to North Haven is really not realistic. Unless I, you know, do fantasy stuff, which actually isn't a bad idea. Need to think about that one. Because one of the problems is that I'm not doing enough to demonstrate her magic. I'm not doing enough to demonstrate the growth in her powers. And she's acquiring new powers along the road. And one reader said, well, this is unreasonable. She couldn't possibly do that with a broken arm. It's like, I wonder how she did it then. And it's in my mind, it's clearly a function of her new strength, her new powers, the things that she's able to do. But that's an interesting notion. And one I will have to explore, because I really do want to have her aware that she's acquiring new powers, even as she's aware that some of the new powers she's acquiring, she's not aware of. So yeah, some good stuff coming back, some very, very good feedback. I'm waiting anxiously for my prime beta to have an opportunity to wade through it. She's very, very careful and pointed out some discrepancies between Ravenwood and the current book. There's some interesting discrepancies. In the audio version of Ravenwood, Cleesport is called Overton. And the reason I changed the name is because of Glenn Beck. When I wrote Ravenwood, Glenn Beck had not yet released The Overton Window. Between the time that I wrote and released Ravenwood in audio and the time I got ready to post it in text last year, Glenn Beck published his book. And I didn't want to use Overton because I did not want to invoke the specter of Glenn Beck in the middle of this book. So, yeah, the name changed. It also changed. Originally, it was called Aerony, A-E-R-O-N-Y, Aerony. And I changed it to Corlay because I discovered that Aerony is actually like a game universe or something. There's a world that's called Aerony already. And so I had to change it. But I changed that before I started recording. After I finished writing Ravenwood, but before I started recording it, I discovered this problem with Aerony. Aerony. So, yeah. There are little things like that. Rebecca is described in the book as one of the other wives, when in reality she wasn't. And don't. I could have botched it. I may need to find a different one, because there are two or three unattached women in this group of people in Ravenwood, and I may have botched the name choice. I also need to find the names of the towns that are up and down the pike from Ravenwood, from the village, because I mentioned them in the book. I can't. You know, it's like 3 days away, 4 days away, 2 days up, 2 days back. In some cases I named them, in some cases I just called them the village. And as they roll from Ravenwood to Cleesport, they only encounter one, and it's given a name that is not perhaps one that I used in the past, and I really need to look to see whether or not I can use one of those existing names to help tie the books together more tightly, or whether I need to visit again where it was that this intersection happened. So yeah, some great feedback. I'm really getting into this. This story is going to be, I think this story is going to be the best one. I keep saying that every time. It's going to be less. It's going to be less resolution in the conflict than I think people are going to be happy with. In Ravenwood, there were some direct conflicts and some direct resolution, and then there were some things that were left open to tie the story together from book to book. And we'll have a lot of those same things to tie the story together from book to book. Not surprisingly, Tanith doesn't find Gertie Pinecrest in this book. That's going to be the last book where she finds the actual Hermit of Lammaswood. And the title of the book will be, of course, Hermit of Lammaswood. So, yeah, that's not going to be in this book. This is the middle part of her journey. This is where we start filling in some of the magic. We've introduced her world in book one, and we've given the reader an idea that this is a dangerous and often unforgiving place, particularly for women. In spite of that, we've introduced several strong female characters, along with several, I think, strong male characters who are not of the He-Man persuasion. They're competent without being overbearing, for lack of a better term. And we're going to run into some perhaps stereotypical, perhaps even some cartoonish examples of people who are less forgiving than we've met so far. Now, Birchwood and his boys were pretty much cardboard. There wasn't a lot of development of those characters, in large part because there wasn't an opportunity to actually explore them very much because of the perspective, the tight third, looking over Tan's shoulder all the time. So, yeah, they would have come across a bit flat. They would have come across a bit one-sided because there was really no opportunity in Ravenwood to explore his story. We hear again in the next book, we hear in Zafira's Call, we hear about some of Birchwood's past. We hear about some of the things that he's done. We don't really get the sense of the sympathetic villain. He's just bad to the bone. So, yeah, in that sense, he's kind of cardboardy. A couple of people who are rather cardboardy. That's all right. It's a fantasy, and in some cases, the purpose of the narrative is really served best by having somebody who may have enough personality to stand off the page for a few moments, but then needs to disappear again. It's not somebody you need to remember at the end of the book. Won't be somebody you meet again. So there's that. The walk-ons that fill the crowd scenes, but really have no other purpose than to be the faces in the mob. Not people you're going to explore their backstories about. So yeah, that's working out well. So yesterday I worked 3 hours on the middle portion, and it's smoothed out quite nicely. I need to go back and start again at the beginning. One of the things that started me in the middle was that I knew, or I had the sense, that there was this one passage that replicated itself too closely, where Tanith had a conversation with the same person in two occasions, where almost the same information was passed in both places. It was one of those functions of NaNoWriMo where I probably stopped writing one day and picked up writing the next day and forgot that I'd done it. So I smoothed that out and then was in the process of sort of patching and filling and adding. I think I need to go back now to the beginning and revisit this broken arm business. Because the broken arm was, as you know, a late addition to the story. And so I have 60,000 words, 70,000 words, with no cast, with no companion, with no sidekick for Tanith. And that I had to weave that in order to make it work. And I'm not convinced that I did such a good job on the first pass. It may, in fact, take a couple of passes. I want to get it done, but I want to get it right. So, yeah, I'll have to put a post up about that to let people know that it's got its first draft, and I like the first draft, but it needs some work. So there's plenty of time if you want to be a beta reader. Drop me an email, nathan.lowell@gmail.com, and I'll flash you off a copy of the Word document. If you want a particular reader format, let me know. I'll run it through Caliber and give you one in the format that you want. Oh, my new website, nathanlowell.com, will be rolling out next week. Allison D. Duncan's done a great job of taking what was a rather anemic website and turning it into a very nice portal. If it looks a little more corporate than I'm used to, well, and it's really modeled on Stephen King's website. We took a lot of lessons from him when we were building it. If it worked for Stephen King, perhaps it'll work for me. I realize that we have different audiences, but I think it's going to be a big improvement over what's there now. And we're going to see I'm going to use NathanLowell.com as my go-to address for a lot more stuff. Yeah. The posts for universes will still go in individual universes. I may start doing some more generalized posting on NathanLowell.com just to try to keep that alive. So, yeah. Class is going well. Writing's going well. Dentist went well. Weight loss is going good. Won't always be so, but I'll take solace in it for the moment. It's kind of a wet morning here. Wet is good. We like moisture here in the High Plains. But I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and I will talk to you then.